Spring Conference 2005 in Chicago, Illinois, on March 26th through 27th with Brother Titus Chu. The living and exercise of Godmen for the accomplishment of the goal of God's economy, to gain his testimony through the church. Message 3.
Well, we come to the last message. I'm very thankful for yesterday, and I'm very thankful for your supporting spirit.
Amen.
Last night was not easy because I was so sleepy, but I was told the meeting was pretty good. For that, I'm thankful that I'm speaking while half asleep. But we made it. Now we come Now this morning, we have an unusual rich presence of the Lord in the Lord's table. Did you realize it's not just excitement or not just a good song or excite singing, but the Lord's presence was so richly with us because we touched the matter of oneness and we touched the matter of the expression of oneness through localities. Lord was so happy with this matter. And I also believe, even though we only met together for one day, but the Lord's presence was so rich. This is why we all walk in with a rich supply of Christ so that we can supply to others.
Amen.
This very supply is what we're going to cover this morning. Now, we don't have to cover the matter of economy anymore. Now, we come to message 3. It's good that we don't have to cover the matter of God-man. I believe we did quite well last night. The God-man exercise required in the church life. Remember, now require, if you're in the church life, you're such a God-man to exercise. You need to meet this requirement. It's still, it doesn't denote to church life. It denotes to you. Last night, it denotes to you in the aspect of the inner life. This morning is in the aspect of operations, in order to arrive at the goal of God's economy. This message is not easy. Why? Most of the word, just about all the word, are Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy. Therefore, there was a certain status there, ready to receive these riches. In other words, many of us, if you quickly jump into the fact, praise the Lord, I will be a steward, then for sure, you very much mess up the church life. I will be a teacher. For sure, you'll teach a lot of things. Possible doesn't quite make sense. Then I will be a soldier. That is okay. But you may be martyred earlier than you ought to be. So you should realize, some brother, you should realize, these are profound elements. They don't go that easy. Not one point here is easy. If we have time, we need to spend a lot of time to say, okay, how to be a steward? Then out of the exercising of the stewardship, you have the teachers. Then out of the teaching, or a proper teaching, a proper teacher, you need to live a life. So you realize there's a secret, huh? The stewards exercise. When you exercise your stewardship in according to the mystery of God, you teach. As a teacher, you need to be, what, a soldier? You need to be an athlete. You need to be a farmer. Then eventually, this very teacher is a workman. Because you realize, in point 6, laboring as street work cutting workmen. So this workman doesn't mean you do a work, but you teach. So workman is a teacher. A teacher is a workman. Do you get my point? When you are teaching, you are a teacher. The teacher himself is a workman. This workman cuts straight the word of God in God's house. So this message, if you consider from this angle, they are not that hard, even though they are way beyond our apprehension. These are profound words speaking to profound person by the greatest apostle the Lord has raised up. That is the apostle Paul. So we cannot take it only in doctrines, only in understandings. Praise the Lord, I will be a steward. Praise the Lord, I will be a teacher. Praise the Lord, I am a soldier. I am an athlete. I am a farmer. Eventually, I am a workman. But you should gear yourself to this, realizing, either you don't grow. That is a sad thing, that you have given your life to the Lord. At least you have spent all the Lord's Day morning in the church meetings. Yet, you have so little growth. With very little growth, there's no stewardship can be exercised by you due to your lack of growth. Then it's a sad thing that you heard so much, you are in so much, yet there's no ability to teach because you are neither a soldier, nor an athlete, nor a farmer. Then, at the end of your life, with accumulation of all the experiences of the church life, there's no way you can say you are a workman. So this message, it should be more as our inspiration, as our attraction. To most young ones, I would say they should be your longing, your desiring. Lord, I'm very young. Even the older ones have to learn to say, Lord, I got or I need to be in the reality of these things. The young ones should be very inspired, aspired. I do not know what's the difference, but I know it got to be about the same. Usually with an A in the front means an effort is made. So I would say aspired means I got it. You should be very inspired and aspire to be a steward, saying, Lord, I'm not yet, but I give you 5 years. Please be faithful. 5 years later, I can be a healthy steward in the church life. Then what is a steward? We must read this verse, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Can we turn to the book of 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You see the notes? You see the verses quote, huh? They only quote verse 2, which is may not be adequate, huh? Let's read, start verse 1. I just read it to you. A man should account us. You see? The steward is pointing to Paul, the apostle himself. In other words, it's a high thing, right? Now, if you are a brother in the church, you are a man, you should account Apostle Paul in this way. Who is the apostle? These apostles are the servants of Christ. Who are the servants of Christ? The servants of Christ are stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, how do you know you are a steward? You saw something. You were possessed with something. Then whatever you saw, whatever possessed you, becomes your being. This what you see from God, what possesses you out of God, becomes your being, constitute your person, so that you are very much in the mysteries of God. You know who is this God. You know what the God, this very God, has accomplished. You also know how this very God is operating today. You know God's person. You know God's work, accomplishment. You also know God's work and God's doing. All these are actually mysteries. In other words, they were not taught in any kind of schools. They were not written in any kind of books. These are divinely unveiled. Divinely, the Lord spoke to us, gave us their revelations, and these revelations become our constitutions. So therefore, we become stewards of the mystery of God. Numbers 2. Here, furthermore, it is sought in stewards is the one be found faithful. In other words, even you sow it, doesn't mean you can exercise it. You got to be faithful to it. Oh, brother, if I would say in a simple way, to be faithful to the divine commitment, to the divine revelations, I found out in my Christian life, it is a hardest thing to learn, because so many things distract you. The three world, the sinful world, you overcome quite easy. Then the physical world, that is the world of education, the world of entertainment, they attract you more. Then the hardest world is the religious world. Do you realize? Really, to our physical body, there is the sinful world. Then really to our soul, there is the world that is material, of material, the material world. Then really to our spirit, there can be a religious world. The religious world will be so attract those who love the Lord, who are for the Lord, eventually cause them not to be very faithful. So this is why, he said, for the stewards to be a real steward, that he must be found faithful. This is not an easy thing. You know, brother, that too easy for us to compromise to too many things and forget about the interest of Christ and Christ alone. So now, with this verse, let's come to the point. In order to arrive at the goal of God's economy, faithful stewards are needed. In other words, the more, the better. How about that, Brother Bagel? Brother Karate is from Toledo. Brother Bagel is from Detroit. He was quite a hippie. Actually, at this age to be a hippie, he was very, very bright, because this is no longer hippie age, but we still have a hippie. And this particular hippie got saved and loved the Lord, and he has his manner of life. Then the Lord saved him, and the Lord drew him, the Lord captured him, the Lord gained him, and he gave himself to the Lord. Now you are saved 2 years? 20 years. Now you love the Lord how long? You don't know. So quite long. Huh? Whatever. I know you 2 years. I'm very happy. When I first saw him, I shake his hand. My feelings, oh, what a sweet hippie. Now, when I shake his hand, oh, what a good servant of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for this. But remember this, Brother Bagel. Remember this, that in your life, the Lord needs to find you as a faithful steward. I saw something. I'm faithful to what I see. In my spirit, I have revelations. In my spirit, I have spiritual understandings. With my spiritual understanding, with the revelation I see, I like to be found faithful. Faithful stewards are needed. Those who are exercised to minister to the saints the healthy word of God's New Testament economy. Amen. As a sweet word and convey the riches of Christ. You know, brothers, what are the healthy word? This statement said very well. It's a very good statement for you. You should memorize if you can. A healthy word is what? It's a sweet word. What is a sweet word? Sweet word is a word contain and convey the riches of Christ. Brother, when you hear a steward minister to you, that ministering brings you to Christ, brings you to the appreciation of Christ, enjoyment of Christ, participation of Christ, eventually joined to Christ. You know, this is the sweet word. In the church life, we need sweet word. The more the brothers exercise the stewardship, the more you have to say, oh, I wish all those brothers who are exercising stewardship in the church life, their vision is very clear, their revelation is rich, their constitution is rich, both in life and in word. Then when they operate, in their operation, they convey to you a sweet word. Derek, I'm happy you're here. It's not arranged, but praise the Lord you're sitting here. Let me ask you, you are with us for two meetings now, right? Do you enjoy some sweet word? Yeah, you sure do. So what is a sweet word? Here, defined by the brother who wrote the outline. The healthy words is a sweet word. The sweet word contain and convey the riches of Christ. You know, brother, I'm happy. A real steward will not give you anything else but the riches of Christ. Amen. With him, no issue. With him, no extra topic. With him, no nothing to be exalted or to be degraded. Why? I'm a steward. As a steward, who I'm with you, I minister you the healthy word of God's economy. What are the healthy word of God's economy? They are sweet word. As a sweet word, they convey to you the riches of Christ. Brother, I long after this. I hope meeting after meeting, brother after brother, sister after sister, many in the church life begin to learn to participate in exercising the stewardship. Everyone's ministering is so healthy and they are so sweet. After their ministering, they are brought to nothing but Christ himself. Right? Because it says, the healthy word are the sweet words. And the sweet words contain and convey the riches of Christ. Point eight. The key to the divine dispensing is the exercise of our spirit. Maybe you can change it, which possibly make it really easier. Is the exercise the spirit. Because it's not a process. It's not something you do. It's a fact that the key to the divine dispensing is the exercise spirit. This spirit build up over times. In other words, to exercise your spirit again and again and again. Eventually, you will have an exercised spirit. Amen. Am I right or not? Amen. You know, brother, many times we exercise spirit. Just like we go to 31 flavors of ice cream. Do you enjoy that? Amen. Are you happy? Amen. Are you satisfied? Amen. How often do you go? How often do you go? Maybe once a quarter, four times a year. Every two times you enjoy butter pecan ice cream. That's what I enjoy. If I go to 31 flavor, I wouldn't look at it, I just say butter pecan. I didn't try others, but this one's good enough. Anyway, do you realize that? No matter how I eat 31 flavor four times a year, I'm not 31 flavor. You know why? Because they're not constituted in me. You don't exercise your spirit once for a great little while. You don't even exercise your spirit once for a while. You don't even exercise your spirit once a week on the Lord's Day. You should learn to exercise your spirit all the time. Amen. When things are so pleasant, amen, Lord. I worship you. When things are so hard, amen, Christ. Amen. You are the Lord. Amen. When things are so pleasant, you say, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Amen. When things are so depressed, which happened to most Christians most times, you always can say, oh, Lord. You know, brother, you need to have an exercise of spirit. Amen. To an extent, any moment, any situation, any time, your spirit is there, available to work with you. Amen. So, brothers, exercising your spirit. Exercising your spirit. Exercising your spirit. till your spirit becomes so exercised. 能化, this exercise spirit is built up over time. Do you get my points or not? Brother, I'm happy. You know, let me say this. This is not my outline, right? This is outline composed by Brother Marty. He really did a good job. Do you like this outline? Yeah, he really did a good job. And he composed this, and I read it once. I told him it should be okay. Then I read it, and last night I read this outline again to know what I'm going to share. But do you realize? I'm very relaxed. Why? My spirit is exercised. Over what? Over 50 years. Do you get my point? You don't tell brothers, I'm a Christian for 35 years. Then you ask him, how's your spirit? Well, let me find him. Oh, Lord. Oh, he still didn't come yet. Oh, Lord. Oh, no, it's not here. Oh, Lord! I hit a little bit. Hallelujah! I got the spirit. Brother, what have you been doing 35 years? Eating garbage? Brother, your spirit should be exercised all the time, right? Amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. After a couple years, over time, you have exercised spirit. Your spirit is so strong. Exercise over time. All of these. Now, by having this, we have to force ourselves into a strong habit. Well, that's a strong statement. Force yourself into a strong habit of fanning your spirit into flame.
Amen.
Your spirit is like a little fire. Am I right? If you fan them, the fire becomes a bigger flame.
Amen.
You leave it alone, it won't die because it's a life, eternal life. It will not die. However, it gives us very little light, very little heat. So if you keep on fanning it, how do you fan it? By exercising your spirit. So brother, learn to do wisely stupid things.
Wisely stupid things?
Wisely stupid things. For instance, you say, oh Lord, oh Lord. They look at you. You crazy? Amen. Amen. So what are you doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wisely stupid? People look at you. What a nuts is he? And you look at him, how void your life has been. Look at my life. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, you keep on exercising. Keep on learn to read, pray. Keep on learn to pray, read. Keep learn to speaking, testify with a strong spirit.
Amen.
Brother, this is you fan your spirit into flame. Secondly, by rejoicing in the Lord. Now, it's advanced. Not only your spirit is made alive. You enjoy the living Lord's presence.
Amen.
You say, Lord, I love you. Rejoicing in the Lord. You know, brothers, it is not so good for you as a Jesus lover, as a good Christian, that merely have the Lord a few minutes a day. It is good for you to say, I love my Lord.
Yeah.
Do you get my point or not? I love my Lord. So I appreciate him. I have his presence. I enjoy his presence. Then praying for Lord's interest, right? Now, you fan your spirit in the flame. You rejoice in the Lord. Pray for the Lord's interest. Pray for the church. Pray for your local church. Pray for the testimony of your local church. Pray for the testimony of the body of Christ. Pray for the Lord's interest and give thanks for all his divine arrangement.
Amen.
You know what does that mean? That means whatever happened is divinely arranged.
Amen.
Do you get my point or not? Something so unfortunate. Yesterday I went back. And then I found out the roof is leaking. And that is a Holiday Inn. But there's no holiday there because the roof is broken. So I was in that inn. I look at the roof. I say, well, Lord Jesus, a few months ago I was in the room, no hot water. Now I'm in the room, the roof is leaking. So I called the counter. I said, well, the roof is leaking, the water draining. And He called. He said, "Oh, somebody's coming over. Somebody come over." They look and say, "Oh, check upstairs." Then he check upstairs. Then I got a phone call. "You need to move your room." I said, "Do I have to?" I said, "Is the water very dirty?" He said, "No, it's not dirty water. Good water." I said, "Then that should be good enough." He said, "Are you bothered?" I said, "Well," I said, "if I put a towel there, then I don't hear the voice. You know, when the water dripping with all the noise, I put a towel there. So if I put a towel there, there'll be no noise." I said, "It's okay." I said, "Thank you very much. I'll just stay in my room." And he was very nice. He said, "You should go to take a whirlpool or a jacuzzi, or you can use your key, go to..." Well, he teach you all the things I didn't want to do, you don't want to do. You know, something happened. After I put down the phone, I found out the water dropping stopped. Oh, I have a lot of praise to the Lord. I said, "Lord Jesus, thank you. I'm a person used to lose my temper, you know. Tell him, wait, I paid $8 a day. I'm not coming here to suffer. What kind of thing is this?" But praise the Lord, last night by chance, I become an overcomer. You know, to enjoy the Lord's presence, Lord's arrangement is not easy. Too often, we're... Or we get so happy, you young girls. I don't know you're happy about what. You know, brother, but can you be in the good way? Give thanks for all his divine arrangement. Amen. Oh, when the water comes down and you cannot rest, look at it. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, I worship you. And among all the rooms, you give me one that I can enjoy the leakage of the water dripping. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, that is a secret for you to have an exercised spirit. Amen. Then God men who are exercised with genuine New Testament ministry, that you should have this ministry. Now, as a God man, you are exercised with this New Testament ministry. That is the ministry. You are with the ministry. You should stir up others' love for the Lord Jesus as a lovely bridegroom and strengthen them to follow Christ. In what? In the fellowship of his sufferings for the sake of his body. I don't like it. I don't like it. Because isn't body life to be supposed to be enjoyable? We sing a song, right? "Oh, this is a garden. We're in the garden now." We sing the song, "How wonderful it is. How lovely is this place." I mean, why the hymn writers all lie to us? Why don't they tell the fact in the beginning? Brother, I tell you in the beginning, you want to follow the Lord? You have a suffering life. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, praise the Lord. So I'm very peaceful to the Lord now. I didn't lie to you. You have a lot of enjoyment, but in all the enjoyment, you also have a lot of sufferings. Christ, out of his sufferings, the church is produced. Amen. If Christ didn't suffer, Christ didn't die, where is the church? Where is the body of Christ? Then I tell you, out of our sufferings, local churches can be built up. The church can be built up by what? By our sufferings. This is why we're fellowshipping of his sufferings. Even what? We make up what is lack in his sufferings. By our fellowshipping of his sufferings for his sake, for the sake of his body, we're making up what is lacking. Let me ask you, Christ accomplished everything. What is lacking? He would say, "I can only produce a church. For me to build up the church, I need many stewards. These stewards are fellowship in my sufferings." Oh, this is not easy. I come to Seth again. A good young brother. Are you second generation, right? A good second generation. A Columbus lover. And care for nothing but Columbus. A terrible brother. You know, brother, what is a suffering? Suffering means he stays in Cleveland rather than Columbus, against his will, against his interest, against his choice. But what is the best for the Lord's testimony? So he was very strong. Titus, after much prayer, I'm very clear, I should go to Columbus. Almost answered him, even without any prayer, you still very clear, you should go to Columbus. So what's the difference anyway? You pray with a settled mind. Do you get my point or not? But the interesting thing is this. He went to Columbus, gave himself to Columbus, but eventually he loves the Lord more than Columbus. Am I right? Do you love the Lord more than Columbus? So eventually, there's a fellowship of sufferings generated. I have a lot of things I love. I have a lot of things I planned. I have a lot of things I scheduled for my life. At age 30, I will have two PhDs. At age 40, I'll be the well-known professor in the bankruptcy to be university. Then at the age of 50, I'll publish 5 books which nobody's going to read. At age 60, I will get ready about to finish my life. At 65, I retired. I will go to Florida, but I got a stroke. So I can't enjoy much. I end up in Florida with little enjoyment. But people plan these kind of funny things. Do you know that? Everybody has their plan. Am I right, brother? We're older now, so we know everything we plan doesn't work. Did you realize? Whatever you plan, it doesn't work. David, am I right or not? As a physician, do you realize that? Whatever you plan doesn't work. Eventually, when's it work? When you love the Lord walk with you. When the Lord walk with you, he work with you. When he work with you, you begin to participate in his sufferings. Oh, this brother missed the meetings, I suffer. Oh, that brother depart from Christ, I suffer. Oh, that brother never pray in the meeting, I suffer. Oh, that brother pray all the time, frustrate the meetings, I suffer. Well, that is how servants of the Lord learn. Amen. Am I right? Oh, this brother was so buoyant, I suffer. Because when could he come out into something solid? Oh, this brother so bashful, I suffer. Because even just can't get him to open his mouth to say a word in the meeting seems to need the greatest miracle on the globe. Brother, all kind of sins, all kind of situations. And Lord says, I desire to see this one and that one. They all born of Zion. They all for Lord's testimony. All built up in the church life. Brother, these need our fellowship of his sufferings. Our life is no longer ours. Our life is dominated by God's economy. When God's economy dominating over our being, we live a suffering life. Then, point two, minister as life and truth, dispensing teachers. You dispense as a teacher. What do? You give messages. No, you are life and truth dispensers. You dispense life, you dispense truth. Good ministers of Christ Jesus with a good deposit are needed to function as teachers, to dispense the divine life in the humanity of Jesus for the cherishing of the saints, and the divine truth in the divinity of Christ for the nourishing of the saints. Amen. Oh, this is a very profound statement. Sister, please tell me you don't understand. Do you understand? You do. Oh, give us a message. See what you understand. You know why I tell you it's hard to understand, huh? Let me explain to you. Number one, now, if you are a good minister of Christ, you must have a good deposit. And that good deposit, hard to understand. Do you get my point? That's number one. With a good deposit needed to function as teacher. Then what? Number two, you have to dispense the divine life in the humanity of Jesus for the cherishing the saints. Isn't that complicated? To me, cherishing the saints just means come to my home for dinner. I have a shoulder here for you to cry. Do you get my point or not? A young man, if you don't have money to buy a ticket to go to the theater, I'll buy it for you. I didn't say this. Brother Lee said it. So I repeat what Brother Lee said. It's pretty safe. Oh, really? You know, Brother Lee teaches us how to serve young people. Oh, he was strong. He said, everything you do is wrong. When you see a young people, you should see him, talk with him. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to watch a movie. You should walk with him all the way to the theater. Then you should ask him, brother, do you want me to buy a ticket for you? Then you have to be with him until he go in, but you don't go in with him. He didn't say, he could have said, but he didn't say, you should wait outside until he come out. That he didn't say. So brother, you know, to us, what is cherishing? Oh, I'm a servant of the Lord. I want to serve the church. I cherish the saints, right? Cherishing saints means I take care of you. So if you are hungry, here's a chicken. If you are don't financially tight, here's the money. If you don't have clothes, I have an extra jacket. If you no place to stay tonight, I have a basement room. Brother eventually says, no. Do you realize, if you want to serve the saints as a good teacher, number one, you have to have a good deposit. Number two, you have to be in divinity. Cherish the sins, the divine life, dispense the divine life in the humanity of Jesus to what? For the cherishing of the sins. Then what? With the divine truth in the divinity of Christ for nourishing the sins. Isn't that complicated? Isn't it? I think most brothers gave up right over here because it's just too complicated. We would just rather tell the Lord, Lord, I like to be a good cherishing brother, good nourishing brother. Whosoever needs help, I will be the welfare center in the church life. Come to my house. Then I will be a life-giving center in the church life. I have many Bibles prepared. Come and read. Brother, no. Here he says, number one, you got to have a good deposit. So let me ask you, what is that good deposit? Deposit, the word, the Greek word of deposit, is parasike. Parasike, right? It's parasike. Para means with, together with. Para means with, that's parallel. Same thing. Para means with. Tike means put, input. Yeah? So in a way, what is a deposit? Deposit means there is some riches come into you. And what come into you becomes your commitment. Do you get my point? Now, if I say in this way, sister, are you a mother? Praise the Lord, huh? You know, how can you be a mother? It's unbelievable. I look at my daughter, I said, what happened to her? She's so different now. You know, she got an MD, she got a PhD. Now all these D's doesn't mean anything. You got two doctorate degrees. You should fully utilize it. Become someone great, but no more interest. All her interest look at the baby. And the baby began to say, cacker, which means cracker. Oh, yay! It's hard for me to believe. What's happened to my daughter? So bright, so brilliant, so aggressive. Now cacker, yay! I say grandpa. And the girl never know how to say grandpa. I say, papa. No, grandpa, papa. Every time I say papa, I say, no, grandpa. Then the mother, yay! Oh, brother, you don't look down at it. You know, this is a deposit. Huh? No, so far I didn't. I try now. When she began to say something, I try, oh, yeah. Because I have to follow my daughter, otherwise she get mad at me. But anyway, you know, brothers, there's a deposit there. When the deposit becomes a commitment. You know, God created us. In God's creation, there is a life. That life just go to our children. Before we have a children, it never was appeared. You didn't even know you have such a life. When that life came, when the children come, that life was made alive. And that when the life was made alive, she has a deposit. That is, I'm a mother. Then she has a commitment in exercise. That means I raise up my daughter. Do you get my point? So what is a deposit? The divine things was coming into you, become yours. eventually become your commitment. The day when we say, Lord, I love you, the divine life came. That divine life is a deposit. Then the Lord, I want to grow. Then the divine life develops. That development also becomes the deposit. The very deposit in exercise becomes your commitment. Amen. Do you get my point? Deposit, commitment are same Greek word. One is in noun form, one is a verb form. In noun form, it's translating to deposit. In verb form, it translates to, am I right? Committed. Yeah, it translates to committed. You know, brother, we have to say, praise the Lord, we have a deposit. You know, young man, you, young man. I see you many times now. You're a good brother. What kind of face is that? Let me repeat again. Young man, you're a good brother.
Amen.
Young man, you're a good brother. Huh? Oh, you're a bad brother, okay. You're a good brother? Yeah. Why? You know, our young men are so bashful. Look, Derek, he was not infused with the church tradition yet. He's brand new. You're a good brother?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, you see. Actually, he loves the Lord just a few days. And here's one loves the Lord all his life. You're a good brother? Yeah, I'm not quite sure. If the Lord give me light, I'll be terrible. Brother, do you love the Lord? Yeah. You give yourself to the Lord? You commit yourself to the Lord? Do you desire to serve the Lord? Now, aren't you a good brother? Oh, in these many years, you go to the high schooler meetings. Am I right? Have you been in high school meetings? All kind of conferences, right? Some trainings. After all this, who are you? No, stand up. Be bold.
Amen.
Where are you from?
Toledo.
Wow, Toledo, get all the good young people. Amen. You have to declare to everyone, brothers, I have a good deposit.
Brothers, I have a good deposit.
Yeah. Speak even stronger.
Brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I have a good deposit.
Amen. I receive so much.
Through high school meetings.
Through college meetings.
Through conferences.
Through the church life. I'm a rich young person in Christ. Amen. This is a person with deposit.
Yeah.
No churchgoer can say things like this. Churchgoers say, I made all the meetings. Every Sunday morning, I pick up the Bible. That's churchgoers. I am a Jesus lover.
Amen.
Every conference, Amen. I receive some deposit. Amen. Every gathering, I have some deposit. Amen. So the accumulation of the riches of Christ Amen. In life, in Amen. Revelation, become this young man's deposit.
Amen.
Are you rich now? Rich in Christ. Then, okay, as a young brother, rich in Christ, you need to become a good teacher. Do you get it or not? Thank you. So here it says, who are the teachers? These are, with a good deposit, need to function. So you dispense the divine life in the humanity of Jesus for the cherishing of the saints. I give you an illustration. Derek, you're very young. So you come. I begin to cherish you because you have a lot of need. So I begin to say this, brother. Don't you know who is our God? Our God is fire, thunder. So, do you know that? Brother, do you know that? If you're not careful, God has discipline, even chastisement. Do you know that? I've been through a lot of it. I'm still surviving today. Hallelujah. Do you know that?
Amen.
Be careful. When you drive, 65, that's it. 1 mile more, you violate the law of the government and the Lord is not happy about it. Brother, did you realize? Whatever I say is right. But the whole thing is wrong. Why is wrong? There's no divinity involved. Do you get my point? In the divine life, you come to a brother, exercise the humanity of Jesus. Amen. The humanity of Jesus come from the divine attributes. So here's a brother, come on, brother. Here's a brother, saved barely 2 years, right? Just saved 2 years, hallelujah. Oh, no, 15 months. Yeah. Saved barely 15 months. And began to love the Lord as a Jesus lover. And this is the first meeting he come. Am I right? Something frustrates you?
Oh, yeah.
No, we are perfect. We are the Lord's recovery. If you're bothered,
Actually, you
have bothered, get out of here. Yeah. Because you're not for the Lord's recovery. Oh. Brother, don't think I'm joking. Be careful. The church life is a life, the saints among the saints, there should be a life of cherishing. Amen. And this cherishing is through the humanity of Jesus.
Amen.
Brother, something bother you? I tell you, brother.
Right this minute. No.
Yeah, brother, I tell you. When I first come, everything bothered me. Mm-hmm. I tell you, even just how to say amen bothers me. Because when I say amen, nobody says it. When everybody say amen, I missed it. Don't think I'm joking. Because you just don't know when. And you don't even know when to speak a loud amen and when to say a low amen. All these are arts. This has to be old pro in the church life to know when to say amen and when to say amen. Oh, I tell you, brother, when I first came to church life, just say amen bothered me. And the shake can bother me. You know, I don't understand. When we're with young men, who are at the work, I say, hey, nice to meet you. You know, here the brother, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What's going on? Praise the Lord. Brother, but I tell you, huh, brother,
yeah.
Remember, they all love you.
Amen.
This is a household. You are free to make mistakes. Amen. Do you get my point? Amen. Come to the meeting. Even you may do something wrong, remember they all love you.
Amen.
That is a cherishing with the humanity. Yet, not just a good human being. This humanity comes from the divine life. The divine life in you, that is Christ in you, manifest through the humanity, then produce the cherishing of the saints. Amen. Brother, let me say a word. How much in the church life we need to cherish one another.
Amen.
So many are so busy in the church life, yet if you talk more with them, they'll tell you, I am very lonely. Why? So many good sins, so many years in the church life, and say, I'm very lonely, because we're short of a cherishing practice.
Amen.
Brother, welcome home.
Thank you very much.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome home.
Amen.
You know, this is a cherishing. Now more than that, just cherishing is not enough, he said. Then with the divine truth, with the truth, you exercise in the divinity of Christ for the nourishing of the saints. In the humanity of Jesus, you cherish the saints in divine life. Then in divine truth, you begin to see that. Come on, Derek, I see you again. Come on, sorry. Huh? I began to say, oh, Lord, what a lovely young man. He's in Sydney. I still don't know, where is that Sydney? He told me, south of Toledo, north of Columbus.
No.
Oh, north of Dayton.
Yeah, it's about halfway in between Cincinnati and Toledo. Like smack dab in the middle.
Between Toledo and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So it's very close.
It's north of Dayton also.
So very close to Dayton. Very close to Dayton.
Yeah, about 40 minutes.
Oh, only 40 minutes to Dayton. Okay. So I began to be very concerned how he grow. He's a, please don't mind, huh?
Mm.
He's a wild young man. Isn't he? Am I right or not?
Yeah,
brother, let's face it. You should answer in this way. You see, Titus, if a young man is not wild, he's not a young man.
Amen.
I mean, a young man has a right to be wild, right? He's a wild young man. You know, brother, he needs a lot of nourishing.
Amen.
He doesn't need to be told, this is right, that is wrong, do this, don't do that. He needs to be nourished.
Amen.
You call him, brother, can we have a little prayer through the phone? You visit him, brother, can we read a little booklets together? Can we read some verses together? In divine life, you nourish them. Thank you. Huh?
All right.
This is a teacher. So now you realize, the teacher is not one stand up, give messages. A teacher are the one labor among the saints. Then more than that, a teacher should be shepherd the flock of God by declaring the counsel of God, by protecting the church from destroying of God's building, by mingling the saints with the triune God, by binding them together in oneness. Okay, so you labor to produce the organic oneness. The healthy teacher should not only hold the pattern of his healthy word, but their God, their good deposit, same thing, right? But also commit. In other words, now you exercise. You have a deposit, so you commit. Now you commit what they have received to faithful men who will be competent, teach others also. In other words, not only you got a good deposit, you become, hold the pattern of healthy word. Now you know how to commit to others. Okay, let me ask you. It says, come on. Aren't all the sins in your presence? Point to three you have committed to in the last 2 years. Commit to faithful man. The deposit you have, you commit to others. You know what a says means? Says means the appointed. That's really honorable. An honorable name as an honorable Christian, commit to faithful man. You know what's happened? This is not with us. Our mind is, I love the Lord. I give myself to the Lord. I love the church. I make all the meetings. Whatever the elder says, I did it. Brother, no, not you did it. You commit it. Whatever you have, that deposit, maybe very rich, maybe very little. Even with very little, that deposit, you have to learn to commit it to faithful man. Who's able to teach others also. Give the name, they'll stand up.
The ones who are able to teach also?
No, he doesn't have to teach, you commit to him. Okay. He's able to teach, doesn't mean he can teach now. It means he has a potential.
Amen. All right, one who's here is Anish Jacob.
Who are you, brother? That's a brother, you commit to him? Oh, very good. One. Hallelujah. Brother, do you think he did it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord, you're relieved. Another one?
One here.
From Ohio State.
From Ohio State. And this is the only one from Ohio State here.
Here's one. Another one. Oh, you know, sorry, huh? I put Seth on the spot. You know why? This is not our practice. We are self-centered all our life. Am I right? The reason why we're saved, because we're selfish. Who got saved with a view of God's interest? Everyone got saved because they don't want to go to hell. That's it. Am I right? Who got saved? Oh, God, I see you. I'm for your interest. I need salvation. I never heard such a prayer. Every prayer is the same. Lord, I don't want to eternal perdition. I don't want to go to hell. I have so much sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Everyone saved selfishly. But Lord was very happy because the baby is born. But eventually you grow. The Lord desires you grow into the ability. You are able to commit to the others who are able to teach also. Then with his teacher, teaching, you have the three things. Number one, a soldier. Number two, an athlete. Number three, a farmer. Warning as a priest, warning as the priest is serving good soldiers of Christ. Good soldiers. Who are the soldiers? Huh? Now, the adjective in the Bible itself, just a good soldier. You should be a good soldier, right? A good soldier. Good soldier of Christ Jesus must suffer evil in their warfare, and cannot be entangled with affairs of this life, so that they may please the one who enlists him. Amen. You know, brother, I'll say again now. Do not be entangled with affair of this life. Who are you?
You are here. That inside you, there's a spirit, and there's your soul, and your physical body, right?
That is, says 2 Thessalonians, last verse, very clear. May your body and soul and spirit be preserved. So that's clear. We have body, soul, and spirit. What are the things entangles you in your life to match your physical body where sin abides? There is the sinful world. Sinful world, right? You realize basic is quite scary. A few dreamers in Hollywood write some movie drafts. How do you say that? Is that English? Right? Then out of that develop the culture of human race. It's just hard to believe. Do you get my point or not? They out of the imagination, they write some stories, they made a movie, and that movie began to lead the trend of the globe. People follow. I tell you, everywhere you go, they follow. Even you go to Africa, even you go to China, everything they follow. When all the stars in Hollywood have a fake nose, the whole globe ladies have fake nose. Do you know that? It's very interesting that everyone follows. It's just a sinful world. Then you say, oh, hallelujah, we're Christians, we're not that sinful. Then realize, matching you, that is really you. That's really us, huh? There is a material world. Material world. How about become wealthy? How about become famous? How about become powerful? How about possess something can be admired by others? How about possess something that you could have an enjoyable life? These belong to material world. Then the third item that can entangle you of this life is related to your spiritual life. That is what? A religious world. Don't think religious is not a world. Actually, the most hidden world is religious world. The most manifest world is sinful world. Do you get my point or not? Sinful world is there, everybody know. Mature world there, you need something to see. You know, you young man, young brother, where are you from? Toledo too? Well, I'm happy. Toledo's always sitting in the front row. Hallelujah. Young man, are you looking after material world? If you are, brother, let me tell you, you're entangled with the things of this life. Sinful world, you can deal with very easy. That's it. I have nothing to do with it. Right? Every Jesus lover can easily handle sinful world. Mature world can become legalized. Brother Lee gave a message that was very interesting. He said, from now on, in the church life, everyone is a full-timer. You are either job-dropping full-timer, serve the Lord, or you are money-making full-timer. I've heard that, so, oh Lord Jesus. I wish I heard this message 30 years ago. I will be a money-making full-timer. I never realized I can serve the Lord and make money. And why, if I could make a lot of money, I'll be greatly appreciated because I donate. Brother, be careful. Be careful. You know, of course, when people become wealthy, someone develop a business, you must respect him. Because there got to be something in that person cause him to be successful. Just like if you see a famous professor, right? You see a famous, a successful businessman, you respect them. You know there's something there for them to be successful. But remember, if you're not careful, the mature world will hiddenly swallow you up. Right after Brother Lee's message, I heard testimony. One young people after another told me, he said, praise the Lord, Brother Titus, I'm very clear now. I said, I know. I'm going to be a money-making full-timer. I said, okay. I said, brother, do you understand this? If you are a money-making full-timer, that means if a job-dropping full-timer live on $1,000, a money-making full-timer also live on $1,000. If you made $20,000 a month, you have to offer $19,000. Otherwise, you're not a money-making full-timer. He said, brother, but if I make $20,000 a month, I got to drive a Cadillac. You see, think about it. If I drive a Chevy 2, I don't know if you still have a Chevy 2, but whatever. If I drive a very cheap beat-up car, nobody's going to do business with me. You know what? It makes sense, right? If I want to entertain some guests to my home, I live in a three-bedroom small ranch, they don't do business. I got to live it a certain way. Brother, eventually realize, don't argue. Do you know that you're caught with material world? Material world, you can see it. So eventually say, Lord, I don't want the material world. Do you? Derek? The second day you come meeting, the brother told you, give up everything for Christ. Are you ready? You see, all of a sudden he become quiet. Come on. Speak publicly. Now give up everything for Christ. Nothing in the sinful world. Amen or not?
Amen.
Nothing in the material world.
Well, I wish I could say amen 100%. I might be able to say, 75%.
Very good. Very good. I wish I could say it. But I can't say it. Well, which is much better than Pharisees, right? All the Pharisees, that's right, amen! And then go up after meeting, go make money. Right? Thank you for your genuineness. Brother, but remember that mature world is much more powerful than sinful world. Then, let me tell you, to Jesus lovers, the religious world is much, much more powerful than the previous two worlds. Do you agree with me?
100%.
Yeah, I see many brothers told me, I give myself to the Lord, 30 years, look what do I have? What do I have is a world. Do you get my point? I love the Lord for 30 years, look what do I have, or what I have become. One day, one brother picked me up from the airport, take me home. He says, Brother Titus, I think I can be much more used by the Lord. I said, well, your function is very well in the church life. Oh, I think I can do much more for the Lord, for Lord's testimony. I said, brother, be restful. You're doing very fine. All of a sudden, he got a kind of hysterical. I'm hopeless. I said, what are you talking about? I'm hopeless. So he took me home, and he moved away. Real move away. After that, I've told the brothers, no one picked me up from the airport. I can't afford it. I'm so tired. After a long flight, you come in, you're so tired. You don't have the strength to handle every situation. Everyone pick you up, want you to make him an elder or something. Then that's getting serious. Brother, what is that religious world? We like to say, I love the Lord. I love the church. I've been in the church how long? So what am I today? Brother, what are you today? Royal, godly, functioning, life-giving member and teacher in the church life.
Amen.
Isn't that good enough? What else do you want? I want to be elders. Brother, come sit in the front seat and do the job. You'll find out you'd rather not be an elder. Brother, whatever that is, remember, the religious world is deep in us. Very deep. So, don't be entangled with the things of this life. It does not merely mean don't be in sin. Not merely say don't be in money. It also says don't be in religion. Because you're not entangled with the affairs of this life, that you will please the one who enlists you. The ministry of spiritual welfare, point B. Ministry of spiritual welfare is... Our time is limited now. Ministry of spiritual welfare is priestly military service like that of the children of Israel in the book of Numbers. this statement is very hard to read. Because, okay, do you mean the children of Israel are like them? If like them, the word priestly is here. Because priestly are not numbered. Am I right? You don't number you don't number Levites. You do not number Levites. But the Israelites are numbered to fight. But the priestly serving ones are one. Care for the center of the warfare. Care for the tabernacle. So in a way, you should be enlisted as a member of Israel. Go to fight. At the same time, your fighting must be for the interest of God's house. Then, thirdly, good soldier must be vigilant. In other words, strong, right? Buoyant, strong, to fight the battle against death by lay hold on eternal life in order to reign in life. In other words, how do you win in the war? The only secret is life. When your life, you lay hold on life, then the life reigns in you. Then the life reigns in you, you have a reigning life to reign over the situations. And they must fight the good fight for Lord's interest on the earth by warning against distract different teachings which are apart from God's economy in faith. Okay, this is hard. Yeah, because now when you are fighting so hard in life, here it says, you fight the good fight for Lord's interest on the earth by warning against distracting different teachings. So now here, can we read the footnotes again? That is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Am I right? Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. If I read the verse to you, even as I exhort you when I was going into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things. It's very sober charging. Then what are the different things? Brother Lee have a note here on 3:3. Verse 3, note 3. To teach different things was to teach myths. In other words, you talk about mythology. The things are superstitious. Then secondly, you are talking about the unending genealogy. So sometimes when I talk about I was with Brother Lee, I was a little concerned because that can become unending genealogy. It's a history. You know, I began to talk, you know, brother, when I first met Brother Bill Barker, where he was in New York in 1964. What's really long, brother? How many years now? 40? 40 years. Oh, praise the Lord. At that time, he was so skinny. And I was more skinny. I was 100 pounds, 109 pounds. You think about it, lighter than many sisters, right? When I give a message, the wind can blow me away. 109 pounds. But we both are skinny, and he has a family already. I was single. Oh, brother, when I first time in his home, the first time I enjoyed, Carol is unusually good cook. Every time when Bill says, come to my home to eat, my mouth water. Oh, hallelujah. Bill, I'm so thankful. Lord give you such a good wife. I'm so thankful for that household that I can enjoy a good meal. And the brother, let me tell you, since 1964, the second time I met him, in what time, then we were together doing what, no ending, right? I can write a book about Bill Barker and I. No ending. Now I talk about Jim Risky. Jim, the first time I saw him, I get scared. Sorry. So big and sober, really sober. And I was so impressed when he was firm about something. Nothing can. If that is the truth, is that the Bible? Is that how the Lord says? I give up everything. I'll insist on that. No religious world. Oh, I'm so impressed. Actually, all these years I'm impressed. Brother, but all these are. Then I talk about the first time I met Paul, what's your name? Not Paul Nider. Right? The first time I met Paul Nider, he was in Mansfield. I still remember one day he came to Cleveland, driving home and hit a deer. Right. Then ruined his car. But there's a deer meat for him to eat for 3 months. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Brother, don't you realize? Come to our age, at age of 70, endless of stories. Endless. Oh, what happened? Oh. Brother, all these oaths, he says, be careful, huh? That should teach differently. You get caught with what? You get caught with myths or unending genealogy. And what? And the law. The three things, third thing. What is the two different? What is it teach differently? You must do it. You must do it. It's a law. It's in the principle of law. We have the freedom to follow the Lord. We have the freedom in our spirit. We have the freedom to exercise in the church life. You know, three things, Brother Lee says. Be very careful about it. Number one, the myths. Number two, unending genealogy. Number three, and the law. In other words, you must do this. If you do this, you are right. What is the law? The law, you know, the Paul defined. The law, it says, do this, you will be alive. Remember, this is the definition Paul gave in Hebrews. If you do this, you will be alive. That is a law. Yeah, what? Pardon? No. He said, if you do this, you will be alive. 你如果做这个，你就要因这个活着。 If you do this, you will be alive. In other words, you'll be okay if you do this. That's a law. What's the problem with the law? Once people are in law, they do not go to Christ. They don't have to pray, Lord, what would you say? Lord, how would you lead? Lord, how could we follow? This is why the three things become people's teaching different. Number one, mythology. Number two, stories, histories, unending genealogy. Number three, the law. All such teachings was vain talking. Differing from the apostles' teaching. Which was what? What is not teaching differently? Huh? The apostle teaching was centered on Christ. Amen. You give a message, bring people to Christ. You minister something, bring people to the church. The apostles' teaching, which was centered on Christ and the church, that is, on the economy of God. So, brother, you have a burden to share something. At the end of ministering, people touch Christ. At the end of ministering, people touch the Lord. Then, brother, you know, everything is fine. So here says, you shouldn't teach differently. Then second, point four, you should run as a Christ-pursuing athlete. You have to contend lawfully. That's what Paul's word. For the sake of Lord's testimony and encouragement of other saints, we must run as athletes. I like it. You know, brother, let me tell you one thing. In my life, I've never been an athlete. I have a problem. I hate the field. I even hate this, rubber shoes. Tennis shoes, I even hate it because they smell bad. And it's too hard to put on, too hard to take off. I just wonder, how come you're so stupid to have a shoe like that? Look at my shoe, just off like this. That's it. And put it back. It's okay. And I still can walk, right? No problem. But you know, when I have the shoe like this, I can tell you, look, it's so soft, I can run. But you say, you didn't contend lawfully. Oh, you're athlete? Brother, are you an athlete? Once you're athlete, every part of your daily life is discipline. How much you eat, how you eat, how much weight lifting you should do, how much push-up you should do, how many miles you should run a day, how much walk you should have. If you are not doing this, contending lawfully, you are not an athlete. Spiritually, it's the same. So here it says, for the sake of Lord's testimony and encouragement to other saints, we must run as less in the Christian race to pursue Christ. When we contend lawfully with a goal to gain Christ, until we finish our course and fully accomplish our ministry. When you fulfill this law, you know this law doesn't mean a law, means these principles, these operating principles. When you fulfill this operating law, you know that if I don't eat, I have no strength, that's a law. If I don't sleep, I'll be weak, that's a law, right? I come just from Far East, that's why last night I gave a message. Before I stood up, I was almost sleeping, right? But that's a law. You can't tell the Lord, hallelujah, do a miracle on me. Lord says, you're not Samson.
You are a child of God. You have to abide in the law. Do you get my point? So do everything according to the law. Eventually what? You will fully accomplish, we will fully accomplish our ministry. You have a ministry. Brother here said very clearly, you have a ministry. And your ministry needs to be accomplished. You should fully accomplish your ministry. Am I right? Then secondly, we must run to lay hold on incorrupt crown by exercising self-control. That's Aslick. Then looking away to Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, and by pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace in the normal church life with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. You all turn your page already because your patience is gone. But brother, let me tell you, if you look at Sam Snyder is interesting, you know, in that little town he lived, North Homestead or Rocky River. When you drive into Rocky River, there's a sign. The residence of national champion in wrestling. Yeah, I saw that sign. Oh, I said, wow, I didn't realize Sam Snyder is that famous. Even the whole city live on him. You drive in the city, there's a sign. The residence of the champion of whatever, you know. What a marvelous sign. Then you check with Sam. Sam, how can you be a national champion in this exercise, wrestling, right? He will tell you, it's by no means easy. His whole living is under strong discipline. You know, brother, with Christians, we like enjoy the Lord like America eating French fries. So we enjoy the Lord, hallelujah. Then we enjoy the Lord again, hallelujah. So eventually everybody's 250 pounds. Spiritually, yet no muscle, no strength. Brother, we need to learn, discipline ourselves to gain Christ. Amen. Then point five, sowing and watering as a fellow worker farmer in God's farm. You know, in the farmer, the word speak, you are a laboring farmer. In other words, you got to labor. Fellow workers work together with God on his farm, the church, by all fitting life to sow the seeds. I like it. By an all fitting life. Do you appreciate your life? As an all fitting life. You know, you can be with the healthy. You can be with the weak. You can be with high. You can be with comma. You can be with a Jew. You can be with a Gentile. The life is all fitting life. So wherever you go, you can sow, you can labor, you can produce fruit. Then to sow the seeds of life into others and to water them. You know, Derek, you need to be watered a lot. You need to be watered. They should water you with the spirit of life. In our contact with saints, we should have only one motive. Remember, in our contact of the saints, we should have only one motive. What is that motive? To minister Christ to them so that they may grow in the Lord. I come to you, I only have one motive, to minister Christ to you, that you may grow in the Lord. So many times we have too many motives. How to gain somebody, how to use the opportunity to do something. Brother, no, we should have only one motive as a farmer. Just like a farmer sow the wheat. There's only one motive, to grow wheat, right? They never hope that the rice come out or apple come out. He knows, this is what I sow, this is what I reap. So I sow what? I sow Christ. Then what? I will harvest also only Christ. Then God will send his word as rain and snow that waters the people. Then eventually you have the organic salvation, right? To sanctify him, transform him, conform him to his image for the building up of the body of Christ. So we shared somewhat last night. You water them, they will grow. Okay, how about point six, huh? We read it together. Laboring as a straight work-cutting workman in God's house. The Lord needs some to serve as workmen in his house to cut straight the word of God, holding the word of God in its various part without distortion. I just say a few words here. What is the workman? The workman is not to do a work, rather straight word cutting, to cut straight the word. When you cut straight the word, the truth, his brother Lee defined it, is rightly unfolding the word God in its various parts. Do you get my point or not? Or its various aspects. In other words, the word is very rich. The word so rich, from different angles, you will see different things. And the word so rich, in different places, will meet different needs. So in various parts, various aspects, so you cut straight the word without distortion. In other words, don't give a message up according to what you think is right. I could tell you the story. It's a story, interesting. You won't be bothered. One brother read the Bible a lot. And I saw his Bible. The whole Bible is filled with notes. Nobody can read it, only him. And one day he gave a message in the testimony meeting. He said, Chinese are God's chosen race. And the Garden of Eden is in Xinjiang province because it has a lot of grapes and so forth. He began to give a message. And where he was giving the message, the one brother saw the patient say, brother, do you have a Bible to Bible verses to back it up? I like that question. Many things need the Bible verse to back it up. Do you have a Bible verse to back it up? And he got so upset. He said, hey, you won't listen to me. He just walked out of the meeting. That's it. He disappeared. Then later, he met another brother on the street. That brother I know very well. He said, I met so-and-so on the street. Then he found out by being with him, there's the odor of smoke. So he says, brother, you smoke now, do you? You know how he answered? He says, yes. Don't you remember what the Bible says? The fire on the altar should never be extinguished. Could you believe that answer? The fire on the altar should never be extinguished. That's why not only I'm a smoker, I'm a chain smoker. The fire is always here. That's called distorting. I mean, you use verse to convict, to vindicate what you do with no interest of God. The Bible is for God's interest. Then, can we just have one or two brothers read this? Paul, can you read point B? Then we finish. Point B is very strong.
Contentious of words, profane and vain babblings, and foolish questionings arising from untrained minds are used by the devil in the downward current among the churches to beget contentions, to ruin the hearers, to promote ungodliness, and to overthrow people's faith.
Oh, Lord.
Hence, there is the need of the word of the truth.
Amen.
Rightly unfolded.
Amen.
To enlighten the darkened people.
Amen.
To inoculate against the poison.
Amen.
To swallow up death.
Amen.
To bring the distracted back to the proper track.
Amen. So, you realize there's a need of the word of truth. And the word of truth produce godliness. So you see, in the front it says, there are contentious word, profane, babbling, foolish question, and all these, even Jude says, all these promote ungodliness. So if you know what is godliness, you will know what is healthy word. What is godliness? Remember Paul's word? Great is a mystery of godliness. Then what is? God was manifest in the flesh. So what is godliness? Godliness means God came out. God lived out. God testified. God was seen. God was manifested. So brothers, the teachings that take you away from God, these are these teachings. But the teachings that is healthy should generate godliness.
Amen.
Do you get my points? May Lord have mercy. We still have 15 minutes. Can we feel free to come up and have some testimonies?